that spoken in 1937.
Yes.
For us, it's prehistory. We are not existing yet. But in the mind of God, we are existing already, you know. We just exist in some moment in life. But from eternity, we are created. Do you believe that? From eternity, we are created already in God. We are already existing in God, but not on earth. Always in the mind of God, we are always there. So, something when we read, something part of ourselves, even though we are not living history in that moment, but it's part of us. The whole creation, we are part of it. You come in history, first and second and third, but always just one. Because God is one. Our heart and mind is only one. So let us then read just one paragraph before, last week. A few days ago, I wrote to my director, probably Father Andres, asking permission to do some little modifications during Lent. So I did not have the doctor's permission to go to town. I had to do this by letter. But Ash Wednesday is already here, and I still have no answer. This morning after Holy Communion, I asked Jesus to inspire my director with his light so that he would answer me. And I knew in my soul that Father was not against my practicing these modifications for which I had asked permission, and that he would give his permission. So in peace, I began to undertake this practice. That same afternoon, I received a letter from Father saying that he readily gives me permission to undertake those practices for which I had asked. I was very pleased that my interior knowledge was in agreement with my spiritual father's opinion. Then I heard the following words in my soul: you will receive a greater reward for your obedience and subjection to your confessor than you will for the practices which you will be carrying out. Know this, my daughter, and act accordingly. Anything, no matter how small it be, that has the seal of obedience to my representative is pleasing to me and great in my eyes. So that's especially for priests and for religious people. Obedience, very important. To a certain extent, you too, no? Right? Do you agree? Yes. Obedience. Of course, sometimes you don't agree much with what you're told to do. You know, this is a practice of humility. Let Jesus teach you what to follow. If you don't have, well, anything, if it's not against the law of God, listen and follow it. Small practices for Lent, although I wish and desire to do so, I cannot practice big mortifications before because I'm under the strict surveillance of the doctor. But I can practice little things. First, sleep without a pillow. Keep myself a little hungry. Every day with my arms outstretched, say the chaplet, which the Lord taught me. Occasionally with arms outstretched for an indefinite period of time. Of time, prayer uniformly. Intention: to beg divine mercy for poor sinners and for priests. The power to bring sinful hearts to repentance. My contact with the dying is, just as he has been in the past, very close. I often accompany a person who is dying far away, but my greatest joy is when I see the promise of mercy fulfilled in these souls. The Lord is faithful. What he once ordains, he fulfills. Did God say always say the chapter of divine mercy before a dying person, asking the divine grace. A certain person in our world was beginning to die. Amidst terrible tortures, she was dying for 3 days, sometimes regaining consciousness. Everyone in the world was praying for her. I longed to go to her, but Mother Superior had forbidden me to go to visit the dying. So I prayed for that poor soul in my room. But when I heard that she was still in agony and there was no saying how long it was going to take, I suddenly felt inspired in my soul and said to the Lord, Jesus, if all I do is pleasing to you, I ask you as evidence to let the soul stop suffering and pass on immediately to a happy eternity. A few minutes later, I learned that the person had passed away so peacefully and quickly that they did not even have time to light a candle. I will say a word more about my spiritual director. Quote, Father Andreas or Father Sopoko. Doesn't know which one. It's strange that there are so few priests who know how to pour power, strength, and courage into a soul so that it can make constant progress without getting tired. Under such direction, a soul, even of lesser strength, can do much for the glory of God. And here I discovered the secret, namely that the confessor, or rather the spiritual director, does not make the lights of the trifles that a soul brings to him. When a soul notices that it is being controlled in this, it begins to exert itself and does not omit the slightest opportunity to practice virtue and also avoids the smallest faults. And from these efforts, as with little stones, there arises within the soul a most beautiful temple. On the contrary, if the soul notices that the confessor neglects these little things, it likewise neglects them and ceases to give an account of them to the confessor, and worse still, we begin to grow negligence in little things. She appreciates the priest can observe little things in her soul so they can bring out as a virtue. Well, sometimes some priests might, oh, doesn't matter, and then, Thus, instead of going forward, it gradually retreats backward and becomes aware of the situation only when it has already fallen into some serious trouble. Here, a serious question poses itself. Who is at fault, the soul in question or the confessor? That is to say, the director. It seems to me that all the blame should be put on the imprudent director. Imprudent director. The soul's only fault is to have taken upon itself the choice of a director. Choose a bad person. Bad choice. The director could well have led the soul along the road of God, the road of God's will to sanctity. The soul should have prayed ardently and at greater length for a director and should have asked the Lord himself to choose the spiritual director for it. What begins in God will be godly, and what begins in purely human manner will remain human. So all things do. Pray for us. Ask God, divine providence, to let you know what choice, not only for spiritual director. Whatever you do, you want to, from God's side, but if it's from God, it's godly. From human, it's humany. So, God is so merciful that in order to help a soul, he himself choose the spiritual guide and we enlighten the soul concerning the soul before whom it should uncover the most hidden depths of its soul, just as it sees itself before the Lord Jesus himself. And when the soul considers and recognizes that God has been arranging all this, it should pray fervently for the confessor that he might have the divine light to know it well. And it did not change such a director except with serious reason, just as it had prayed fervently at great length in order to learn God's will before choosing a a director. So too, should it pray fervently and in great thanks, discern whether it is truly God's will that he leave this director and choose another. So always pray first. To choose and to let go, to pray. If God's will is not absolutely clear, he should not make this change. For a person will not go far by himself. And Satan wants justice to have the person who is aspiring for sanity die himself, because then, if there are doubts, he will never attain it. So also the spirit, the evil spirit take away from a good spiritual director. Maybe you find him annoying. Oh no, get someone sweeter. That maybe, you know, the Satan can cause all these things. You must be always pray, have this insight. There is an exception to this, and that is when God himself directs the person, but the director will immediately recognize that the person in question is being guided by God himself. God will allow him to know this clearly and distinctly, and such a person should be even more under the director's control than anyone else. Even though she has the direct inspiration from God, no? Direct contact with Jesus, but still she has to be obedient. Not that I have the inspiration, you don't know. Without humanity, it's no virtue. In this case, the director does not so much the guide and point out the road along when the which soul is to journey, but rather he judges and confirms that the soul is following the right path and is being led by good spirit. So he knows, at least from experience, he knows whether you are really following the real inspiration. Sometimes the devil can inspire you as in the image of Jesus also, no? It happens many times. You have to be careful. It's not that you have the light and then always, not always. Sometimes the devil come in. In this situation, the director should be not only holy, but also experienced and prudent. And so should give priority to his opinion over that of God himself. For then, the soul will be saved from illusions and deviations. A soul that will not fully submit its inspiration to the strict control of the church. That is to the director, clearly shows by this that a bad spirit is guiding it. That means a soul, if he or she consider inspired by God, but doesn't want to be controlled, or, you know, to under the control of the spiritual director of the church, that is a bad spirit. No humanity. The director should be extremely prudent in such cases and test the soul's obedience. Satan can even clothe himself in the cloak of humility, but he does not know how to wear the cloak of obedience, and thus his evil designs will be disclosed. So even though at times you might be obedient, the spiritual director, if it's a very good experience, he can discern this person really influenced by the bad spirit or really inspired by God. But the director should not be overly afraid of such a soul, because if God puts that special soul in his care, he will also give him great divine light regarding it. For otherwise, how could he deal wisely with the great mysteries which take place between the soul and God? So some priests might be afraid to touch this kind of person. No, always they say they have the spirit of God. Wow. Even we priests, we don't have this inspiration. And maybe he or she has more insight than you, and you don't know how to discern whether it's deep. So sister says, don't worry, if really God chose you to be the director, you have the light. I myself suffered a great deal and was much tried in this respect, because many priests are afraid of her. Oh, come on, you. Okay, another priest. Therefore, I am writing only about what I myself have experienced. It was only after many novenas, prayers, and penances that God sent me a priest who understood my soul. Oh, there would be many more saintly souls if there were more experienced and saintly confessors. Many a soul earnestly striving for sanctity cannot manage by itself during times of trial and abandon the road to perfection. So special time, you need a good confessor to guide you. O Jesus, give us fervent and holy priests. Oh, how great is the dignity of the priest, but at the same time, how great is his responsibility. Much has been given you, O priest, but much will also be demanded of you. That's her words. She was really anxious, you know. She tried many times and could not get a good spiritual director, so he find it might be that the same feeling. So he say, he tell the priest, please. February 11, 1937. Today is Friday. During Mass, I suffered pain in my body, in my hands, my feet, and my side. Jesus is sending me this kind of suffering that I may make reparation for sinners. The pain is brief, but very severe. I do not suffer for more than a couple of minutes, but impression remains for a long time and is very vivid. Even just a few seconds of pain, it remains there. The stigma, you know, the hand, the feet, the side, she experienced. Today I feel such desolation in my soul that I do not know how to explain it's even to myself. I would like to hide from people and cry earnestly. Sometimes, annoying, you know, the pain. Doesn't know how to share and how to. There's a pain of Jesus on the cross. Of course, our Heavenly Mother is there under the cross. But even if God, Jesus experienced the absence of God the Father, kind of know the feeling. God, why have you forsaken me? There's a pain, this kind of feeling. No one understands a heart wounded by love. And when such a soul feels itself abandoned in theory, no one can comfort it. Oh, souls of sinners, you have taken the Lord away from me. But all right. You get to know how sweet the Lord is, and let the whole sea of bitterness flood my heart. I've given all my divine comforts to you. Even you don't feel anything, just offer. Me too. Sometimes we feel so peaceful, so fruitful. Sometimes find so stale, no taste. Just the same, offering with joy. There are moments when I mistrust myself, when I feel my own weakness and wretchedness in the most profound depths of my own being, and I've noticed that I can endure such moments only by trusting in the infinite mercy of God. Patience, prayer, and silence, these are what give strength to the soul. Patience, prayer, silence. These are what gives strength to the soul. There are moments when one should be silent and when it would be inappropriate to talk with creatures. These are the moments when one is dissatisfied with oneself and when the soul feels as weak as a little child. Then the soul clings to God with all its might. At such times, I live solely by faith. And when I feel strengthened by God's grace, that I'm more courageous in speaking and communicating with my neighbors. So when the core of the pain, remain silent, keep to yourself first. When it passes, they can share with others. Not just to seek consolation from friends. We used to, no? Something disturbing, silence and talk to God. Only when you the thing solved, then you can share, oh, yesterday I really feel pain, but then Jesus give me the light. You'll give a good example to the other people. Otherwise, everybody calling all the time. Oh, you call, so, oh, yeah. And then you, oh, yes. You have to do the will of God, right? When you cook well, no one hand hearing, and you forgot the salt. And then you go, oh, yes. Yeah. How can you do one hand? Chinese cooking, you need two hands, no? The wok is you have to use, and then you can. I'm kidding. But I didn't see you wok, don't worry.